The preacher and the teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things socks, pats, B's and C's. Right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
It is hour number two, Mustard and Johnson. Doing a quickie today to 11 o'clock. Mark James is here. And, of course, we always in a state of animated suspension, wondering if Greg Dickerson will deign to show up to his own show. We shall find. That seems to be a sort of a trend,
pattern
with a lot of the co-hosts who occupy the show after us on Saturdays over the last couple of years, if you know what I mean.
Mark James has been good.
He shows regular. Up. Dickerson's very irregular.
Yeah.
And, of course, the previous show, TNT, Trenny and Tomasi, you never know who was going to show up. Trenny, half the time, was globetrotting.
On vacation somewhere.
All over the world. Where was she? She was straddling something. Where was that in Greenland? She was straddling something in Greenland. And Tomasi was in with a variety of different people. But Mark James, the king of all Boston media, will be here at 11 o'clock. We've been looking backward a little bit to that improbable loss in Miami, looking ahead to Pittsburgh. If Miami is the house of horrors, it's certainly been nothing but great success for the Patriots in Pittsburgh. What did you say? The Steelers, what, 3-11 against the Patriots over the last, what?
They lost their last five games to the Patriots there.
And, you know, 3-11 in the Brady Belichick era. One of those games was the Matt Castle game in Foxborough in 2008. Why? Because I was at that game. And Pittsburgh still had to struggle to beat the Patriots in that game with Matt Castle there in the pouring rain 10 years ago. So if they can't beat Miami in South Florida, they always seem to find a way to beat the Steelers in Western PA. We shall find out if that happens again tomorrow at 425. 617-779-7937. Gene in Lincoln begins hour number two on Sports Radio. Hey, Gene.
Hey,
Gene.
Hey, how you doing?
Thanks. Good. Gene. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. So I was at the game, and I want to, I guess, begin by saying I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm not a Patriots hater, but I'm a Detroit Lions fan.
What? What?
Yeah.
So you're the one, huh?
Yeah, I'm the one.
Go ahead.
My high school football team were the Lincoln Lions, and I've been a Lions fan ever since I was a young kid.
You have been doomed to just endless disappointment, Gene.
I can't figure Stafford out. He seems to be so gifted, and yet they don't win.
I know. I thought going into this season, I have him or had him as a top five quarterback, and I had a lot of hope when we had Calvin and Golden Tate, and the team was looking good, but it seems like we're,
going back
in the rebuild mode.
But, Gene, at least you got to gloat way back in week number two of the season. The Lions dismantled the Patriots on the road. So you had to like that one, Gene.
That's true, and I got tortured the week before when the Lions embarrassed themselves against the Jets. So the payback was sweet.
Well, you know what? It's been since 1957. So when the Lions finally do win that ever-elusive Super Bowl, yes, indeed, it will be sweet. So what about that game? What were you doing? I hate to – this is almost like an interview with Gene from Lincoln, but what were you doing as a non-Pats fan down in Miami watching that game last week?
So I have a wife and a daughter who are just enthralled with everything Patriots. My daughter is a huge Danny Amendola fan. Matter of fact, she used to work for the Patriots in college. And, they have this rule where the interns can't go into a room where there's a player alone. So, of course, she goes into the room to get his autograph, and she gets sent home for the day. But
wow.
In any event, they're big Patriots fans, so we took a long weekend, and it was a lot of fun.
Well,
what was the stadium like at the end of the game?
You know, the irony of the stadium was there was massive heckling going on between Patriots fans, good-natured heckling, and Dolphins fans. And when the Patriots went up by five and kicked the field goal, the Dolphins fans filed out.
Why wouldn't they?
They missed their chance to really lay it in.
So even though you said you were neutral, come on, Gene, you probably liked what you saw at the end of that game.
No.
Not really?
You know, if you can have, you know, my card playing buddies say you can't have two teams, but I'm impressed and I root for the Patriots, but when they play, I have my Lions jerseys on and the rest of the house has the New England jersey on.
Wow, you are a rare critter, a true unicorn, Gene, a Lions fan. Actually, I had a kid at Wellesley High School who was a Lions fan. He wore this Lions jersey. How could anybody be a Lions fan? Even if you're in Detroit, how can you be a Lions fan, much less in New England? 617-779-7937. To Glenn and Natick we go. What's going on this morning, Glenn?
Hey, I'm a Lions fan, too.
Oh, yeah, right. Are you really? No.
No, I'm just kidding.
That would be a shocker.
Yeah, two in a row.
Yeah, two in a row Lions fans in New England. That would be definitely beyond the pale. So what's going on, Glenn?
Yeah, I got a few things. I guess, you know, certainly Belichick screwed up. But for some reason, he got caught in between, you know, defending, I guess, whatever you want to call it, the Desperado versus the Hail Mary. And they screwed themselves by getting caught in between. But the big thing is, and I guess people have mentioned, but Jonathan Jones just totally blew that play. He had that guy lined up on the first pass.
Right.
For some unknown reason, he decided to play the ball as opposed to the man. If he just tackles and runs through the guy, at minimum, maybe the guy tries to pitch it back, that initial pitch back, but I don't think it would have made it very far. And that really, and after that play, everyone seemed to be going, like you said, they were sort of not really going after the runner, almost playing like zone defense or whatever.
Right, and I'm trying to remember, and I've watched a lot of football over the years, you've seen the lateral in the kickoff. We've seen that, Cal
right.
versus Stanford in the marching band and that whole thing in 1982. But usually the lateral is a kickoff play, and when they do it from the line of scrimmage, it never goes very far. So
I
don't even know this. I'm sure there's been discussion over the last 5 days. I did not hear it or read it. I wonder the last time from the line of scrimmage a lateral play like that worked in the National Football League. I don't know if it ever has, to be honest with you.
I think it's like 1970 or something.
Something like that, yeah.
But a couple other things. The most frustrating aspect of the game beyond that at the end is just the lack of complementary football. You know, the Patriots came out, put points on the board, and then the defense every single time would give it right back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was 7-6. They score on the first possession, then they give up a touchdown right away. You're right.
Yeah, and it kept on following that pattern for the first, you know, half, certainly, and into the third quarter. And, you know, again, like, and it, you could pick out the kicker or Brady screwing up at the half. But, again, they just held them to one of those first three touchdowns. They got to 3 points even. That probably would have meant the game. And then the last thing overlooked that game was, strangely enough, that defensive pass interference on Gordon down at the 7-yard line underneath the 2-minute mark.
Yep.
That was a beautiful ball by Brady. I know he didn't have the best second half, but that thing was beautiful, right on his hands. And had the guy not pulled his arm, he's probably going to catch it and probably going to score. Now you're up 2 scores and the game's over. But
You can look at a lot of different things. There are a lot of would have, could have, should haves. But again,
bottom line is they should have stopped that.
You're
last
still
play.
In position.
There's no
right.
way around it.
Yeah, 5-point lead, a 1 play left in the arsenal.
Very
and you give
poor
up that.
Effort tackling on bad enough everything else going on. I thought the tackling, the effort out there was terrible.
Absolutely. John and Gardner, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI.
John.
Good morning, fellows. How the heck are you?
How are you?
How the heck are you, John?
I'm excellent. Hey, first of all, I didn't speak to you last week. There was a sage caller 2 weeks ago that predicted the return of the beastly Gronk. Do you remember who that was?
No, I don't remember who that was.
Well,
any ideas?
It was me.
It was you.
It was.
So instead of harping on the negative, you're going to accentuate the positive. You're going to say that Gronk was back as a tight end.
Gronk had a good game.
He had a good game.
Good game.
Yep.
Great game.
Right. Well,
let's half full kind of guy, fellas.
I like his tackling. I thought he was a tackling machine out there.
He's the Troy Brown of our era.
To you guys, especially you, Craig, and everybody else out there, it's okay to criticize Belichick. He's not a god. He's flesh and blood.
Wait a minute. He's the greatest coach in the history of the National Football League.
It's still okay to criticize him.
But he's, you know, I don't remember Lombardi making all these
stupid play.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking.
Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes he kind of believes that he's the genius and he's going to do something that all the other coaches would never think of doing because, of course, he's Bill Belichick.
You mean the smart guy in the room sometimes outsmarts himself?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and I'm not defending some of the – I'll just say this about that last play. I suspect to some degree they're coached to play a kind of zone-ish kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Of the pitches.
Yeah. Yep.
But they didn't play it well. I'm not saying that. But I wouldn't put that all on the players either, the play itself, besides the call of Gronk being
out
there.
They took the set-the-edge mentality, you know, the defensive end doesn't rush the quarterback, sets the
edge. The tackling was terrible.
Well, that's how they were taking that mentality on that play. We're just going to set the edge, and eventually we'll find a way to get these guys
Somebody will stop them.
Yeah.
Right. And I was, you'll have to take my word for it, but from the safety of my couch, I was calling for him to run a fourth down into the pile because just clicking it off more time. And I think psychologically, if you're pinned down inside your five, how much hope do you have even to get out, you know?
Right. And, you know, and I heard people dismissing the argument that it would have been tougher. I think would have been, that would have been 100% impossible to pull off from the 2 yard line. No possible way.
I'm glad somebody mentioned how horrible the defense was because that hasn't been talked about enough because of that play. But another thing, I have not been a Sony Michel basher by any stretch. But in my poor man's version, dopey fan version of the All-22, which is the forward and reverse on my DVR, there were a number of times he had lanes that he didn't cut to. He kept running into the pile, and to my eyes, running it back and forth, there were times a simple cut, and he had lanes that he just didn't pursue.
And he's not. And the other problem is he's not that fast.
Yeah, I was going to say that. He doesn't have the quickness to find that hole, so it's kind of neither fish nor fowl with him.
I'll give you one example. I think it was early in the third quarter. The whole right side, including Gronkowski, was on that side. They all blocked down, so that there was a big pile, I would say, roughly where the guard started out. And there was this lane, speaking of setting the edge, the guy setting the edge had sort of come up. He might have had a chance of coming back and getting him, but everybody was blocked down. And where did he run? Into the pile. He could have just cut to the right, and he had a big lane. The only maybe that guy on the edge could have, you know, swung back and got him. But there were a number of times he just didn't make the cuts that were there, in my opinion.
I hope he proves me wrong, Bick, but to this date, I wouldn't consider him a number one pick. I'll tell you.
No, and I think that's the problem. You're measuring him by a very high standard. Running backs in this day and age, you know, the Saquon Barkleys are few and far between, one for the ages. Most running backs are
Seattle's got three of them.
Not first-round picks.
No, but
you can find good running backs deeper into the draft, and to take one of those first-round picks they had last year on Sony Michel, you know, could come back to bite him, and I think that's one of the problems. He's being certainly rated to a high standard. Danny, always a high standard when he calls us on sports radio. What's going on this morning, Danny?
That was I'm still hurting from that one last week, I'm telling you, man. The only good news is we've gained 1 minute on the sunset. 1 minute on the sunset.
You know what? If you had told me that last Sunday, I would have felt much better about everything.
I know. You know, you can actually see it at dusk now at 4:30.
Hold on. Wait a minute. I thought the shortest day of the year is the 21st or the 22nd.
No, we go through this every year, Craig. It starts on one end first because the mornings are still getting later. So we're losing 2 minutes on the mornings.
Yes.
And we're gaining 1 minute on the sunset. So your net loss is a minute. So
still,
technically the days are still getting shorter.
Right.
But the good news that, you know, at sunset, it's kind of light at 4:30 now if you look out. It's subtle, but only a guy like me would notice it. And to the layman on the street, you know, most people don't notice until April. You know what I mean?
Danny, you are nothing but if not subtle. There's no question about that.
Yeah, but I'm so happy to hear that Johnny from Garden Snake wants the Patriots to go for it on fourth down, and then what? Miami, they have to kick a field goal to win it.
How are they going to get from the 2 yard line with what 16 seconds left? How are they going to get from out of the shadow of their own goal line?
They score the last touchdown.
Well. I would say this.
If it's possible to do what Miami did on the last play to get a touchdown, it's certainly possible for them to kick a field goal.
Okay, here's the difference. Devin McCourty would have been your safety in that position at the 2 yard line, and Gronk would not have been because there would be no chance.
Wait a minute. Stop blaming the play on Gronkowski being out there.
What was he doing out there?
Five players had a chance to make a tackle.
Right?
But what was Gronk doing out there?
Larry, sorry, that's beside the point. It's an afterthought. After the Patriots kicked the field goal and they were in position to win the game, before the play happened, did you think the game was over?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so case closed. Now everyone's blaming Belichick. It's unbelievable. You didn't have a...
Hold on.
Who
are you going to blame?
So you don't blame Belichick?
I blame one person on the defense not being able to make a tackle.
Who is your best and most...
Aside from what happened during the game and the defense couldn't stop the run, you got to be kidding me.
Danny, I understand what you're saying. But shouldn't you have your best defensive personnel on the field at all times? Why would the best, most consistent performer on the defense, Devin McCourty...
Professional football players who are on a professional football team that have played defense have to be able to make a tackle.
Here's the problem.
So when did Gronk play defense?
You were playing 11 against 10. I'm sorry. There weren't enough men on the field who could tackle at the end of that game. You are right. I understand. Stephon Gilmore, others, other people should have been there. But you still had your last line of defense. They don't call it safety for nothing. And Devin McCourty's your best defensive player.
Fast.
Why is he? All he had to do was push Gronk out of bounds. Push Drake out of bounds. I mean, Gronk couldn't even get to the sideline to push him out of bounds.
Yeah, I can honestly say that play will never happen again in the NFL.
Oh, obviously.
Will never happen again.
Right.
An impossibility that you thought the game was over. I thought the game was over. If everything went according to plan and they win the game, are we criticizing Belichick?
But it didn't.
Today?
It didn't.
Danny. Now, this is scapegoat mentality.
So you don't blame
Belichick for that play?
Scapegoat mentality.
Danny, you don't blame Belichick for that play?
I'm sorry?
You don't blame Belichick for that play?
No, I blame the players that couldn't make a tackle.
Well, who put the players out there?
Okay, but why put a play? Danny.
Did they miss? They had five chances to get the guy.
Danny.
And they went for the ball instead of the guy.
Okay, so why do they even have the safety position if all these other people in front of the safety are supposed to make the tackle?
I hate to tell you, it never should have come down to the
Danny,
safety.
That's why they have safeties. They call them safeties because in case other people don't execute the tackle, that's their job to make the stop.
But the play was unique in that it's not a traditional play. The safety, if you're talking
How is Gronk better able to make a stop than Devin McCourty?
I can't believe you're letting – this is what you guys do. You let players off the hook in order to go after and blame somebody else. You mentioned the squib kick against Philly earlier in the show, right?
Yeah, right.
Brady threw a pick six in that game. They had another one. They had a blocked punt that went for a touchdown in that Philly game, and Brady threw another pick in the end zone. Do you think those three plays led to the loss more than the squib kick?
Why were you even when you were comfortably up in that game? You were comfortably up in that game. Why would you do that?
You brought it up. You said the squib kick against Philly.
Right, but you know why? Because they were comfortably ahead, and they tried this ridiculous squib kick that didn't work. Eagles scored, and they got back in the game and won it.
Eagles blocked the punt and scored a touchdown. Brady threw a pick six. They scored a touchdown on a pick six means that he throws an interception in the end zone, and the guy runs it for a touchdown.
So you let Belichick
cost him the game.
Yeah. So you let Belichick off the hook.
Blame the coach,
Danny. So you let Belichick off the hook.
Yes, absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
What
this is scapegoat mentality.
All right, Dan.
That's what it
Dan,
is.
What role on the 31? Dan,
brokenhearted. They lost the game, so now you got to go in and search and squirm and sleaze your way into finding a way to blame somebody else that didn't have nothing.
Okay. Did you agree with Gronk? Did you agree with Gronk being?
You do this with Brady.
Danny, did you agree with Gronk being on the field?
You do this with Brady.
Did you agree with Gronk being on the field?
Really?
Did you agree with Gronk being on the field?
I'm telling you, what about Tom Brady?
Did you agree with Gronk being on the field?
Bledsoed it at the end of the
Did you agree with Gronk being on the field, Danny? Answer
me.
Answer me.
First half.
Danny, do you want to answer any questions whatsoever? Seriously.
Boy, you're one of Trump's aides.
617-779-7937. Well, that was refreshing. We'll take a quick break.
Danny, I'm shocked.
Yeah, we're going to
I'm shocked.
We're going to regroup for about 4 or 5 minutes after that call. Final half hour to go. Danny refuses to blame the greatest coach in the history of the National Football League for putting Gronk out there at the end of the game. What do you think? And, of course, we're going to be looking ahead a little bit to Pittsburgh. If they have problems in Miami, they always seem to find a way in Pittsburgh. A lot of Patriot fans obviously hoping that will occur again tomorrow. Final half hour, Mustard and Johnson around the bend on Sports Radio WEEI.
You're rocking the weekend with Mustard and Johnson. Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI and WEEI.com.
Well, I mean, look, he was in there if they threw the ball down the field. You know, obviously, we didn't intend for it to end up the way that it did, but that's the way it ended up.
Bill Belichick with OMF on Monday in his annual or weekly Monday get together. Obviously, not exactly forthcoming on that play.
Wouldn't you just like to hear him just come out and say, look, we screwed up? That's one thing about Brady. He's not getting that much flack about that first half play because the guy came out and said, look, I screwed up.
One thing about Brady, he doesn't always give you all the details that you would like, but he does it with a smile on his face. He takes all the questions. He may not answer everything as specifically and comprehensively as maybe others would do, and he's certainly not going to give away his cards.
But I'll tell you one thing. His training partner has been quiet this year, huh?
Although, apparently, the other station had quite a lot of fun with Tom's. He does this weekly thing on Thursday.
Yeah, with Jim Gray.
Jim Gray. And apparently, he told Jim Gray that his brain now is wired to take all these hits, and his muscles disperse all the pain so he doesn't feel it. And his knee, since that reconstructive surgery back in 2008, has not even swelled one bit since recovering from the surgery. Almost saying in a almost super power-like way that he's, you know, that he's like a superhero, that he's impervious to any possible injury or pain. So I'm sure that there are a few Patriot fans out there who are going like this right now. Tom, maybe you don't want to say that. Because, you know, every time he goes down now, don't you always take this deep breath?
Oh, sure.
Maybe this will be the last time.
It's the season.
Yeah.
They got one of the worst backup quarterback situations in the league.
Yeah, you know, and it's a major injury. It may not only be the season. Could be the end of his career, 41 years old. Listen, this is not one of his best years. This is one of certainly is not going to go down as anywhere near an MVP year. I had a good game in the first half, especially against Miami. But that last play, you had to wonder, both physically and mentally, where Tom Brady was. That was certainly a very un-Brady-like play, just like the end of the game was a very un-Belichick-like play. Here to weigh in on that and many other things are friendly attorney from Everett, Tom. You're next on Sports Radio.
Good morning, Tom.
Craig, Larry.
What's happening? Well,
maybe his brain doesn't knows how to take the hits, but I've never seen him in his career try to avoid more hits and duck more. I mean, to me, the worst play he made was when he had the wide open receiver in the end zone right before the half, but he was so busy ducking the ghost that was coming from the left that he just fired off his back foot.
Yeah, he is.
And missed the guy by 10 yards.
Right, he is flinching so much more than ever before, yeah, throwing the ball away before getting hit.
Yeah. If that's the case, yeah. Craig. Yeah. I'm not missing that.
But. Yeah. But no, but I heard this interview on, he does it in Westwood One right before the Thursday night game and the Monday night game. I guess he does it twice a week if there's a Thursday.
It's an infomercial.
And it's, you know, and he's talking about TB12 and all this pliability, yeah. And he claims that the best way to recover from a knee injury is just to drink a lot of water.
Oh, didn't see.
Just put the water against your knee.
You know, I've been hobbled by this bad groin for the last month. I haven't been hit the road as I usually do. I didn't realize all I had to do was drink water instead of coffee and juice. I'm sorry.
Between he and his wife, they've got the answers for. I mean, his wife was so busy making fun of American women because they don't have babies like just in their bathtubs like she did. You know what? They're not tough enough.
So that was your decision to put Gronk on the field, huh?
Hey, let me tell you. That guy that called up that said Gronk had a great game, I just want to say one thing. Gronk is one of my all-time favorites, but Gronk is an absolute shell of himself. He gets hit now. You know, did you ever see Gronk get hit and just go down?
Yeah, the TB12 method.
He gets hit by, like, cornerbacks and goes down. Like, he gets no yards after the catch. I mean, again, and I love the guy, but, you know, the odds are, you know, we're not going to see Gronk again after this season. The poor guy looks like he's playing with half a body out there.
And he's very stiff. Forget about how stiff he looked on that last play of the game. He's even stiff running routes.
Working for Gronk. Right. Yeah, he doesn't look too pliable to me.
No, he looks anything but pliable. You know, he looks like the Tin Man, for crying out loud.
And that's, again, no knock against Gronk, because at least he's out there giving an effort.
Right.
I just want to say one thing, though, and I understand what you're saying about the end of the game, but please, don't compare Devin McCourty to any, you know, when I hear Devin McCourty now, it sounds like you're saying he's Rodney Harrison. He's not even Ty Law.
But this is
this
the problem.
Guy's been on the team. He hasn't made a play since he's been here.
Tom.
And he gets $10 million a year.
And he's still, unfortunately, for all that, he's still the best defensive player on the field. I except maybe for Gilmore, but Gilmore's had his ups and downs, too.
Yeah, well, let's address that. Let's address that. And this is addressed to Mr. Kraft and Mr. Belichick. This might be the least talented Patriots team I've seen in 17, 18 years. And my question is, who did they pay on this team? You know, anytime a guy wants to make money, he's got, see you later. We don't have money for that. They don't pay anyone, but then they'll throw $10 million at McCourty. These two idiots on the offensive line, they throw however much money they give them. I mean, you know, they've still got a quarterback who's playing at a discount rate because he's got some backdoor deal with Kraft for after he retires. And the talent level on this team is not there. I do not see this.
You don't like the draft picks?
But, Tom, seriously, they've had some great talent over the years. But let's face it, over the last 10, it's Brady. Brady has covered up all the other personnel problems.
The drafting has caught up with
them. I mean, they had great, on paper and on the field, in the first era, the first three Super Bowls, they had the best talent, particularly the second two.
Absolutely.
Right,
no
the doubt, two and three.
Again, you've got, you know, and let's face it, just like you guys have said, you look around the league, there is nothing that scares you in the AFC. I mean, and quite frankly, in the NFC, I mean, who's going to come out of the NFC?
I would say the thing that's most worrisome for the Pats, if they get through the AFC, would be New Orleans, because they'd have to play that game indoors in Atlanta, and New Orleans is a very difficult team to beat indoors.
Absolutely. And last thing, Larry, you know, your station pays this clown to come on every week so we can hear him say, we're on to Cincinnati, whatever it is. But, you know, I'm still waiting for an answer why they didn't kick a field goal like 4th and 15 against the Giants in the first Super Bowl they played.
He doesn't feel he has to give you an answer.
How about 4th and 2? You know, you want to go down the list, and now I'll have somebody say, oh, that's pretty good. 5 things in his, you know, 18-year career. Well, if there's only 5 things, you would think the guy would be compelled to answer a question. Wouldn't you? I mean, he doesn't feel he has to. We've appreciated nine million decisions you've made. He doesn't respond to these five.
Hey, he doesn't feel he has to.
Well, but I don't understand that. Have you ever seen the head coach's contract with the NFL? They have an obligation to engage with the media.
Hey,
that's in their contract.
Hey, nobody died.
That was the best you could come up with.
Anytime I get upset about something, my wife says that to me. Is that how it works? We lost the football game. And nobody died. That's beautiful.
Hey, so you lost
That's like, you know what that's like, Larry? Oh, that's just Manny being Manny.
Hey,
it's
so
the
you
same thing.
Hey, so you lost the case. Nobody died.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm going to say. It's beautiful. Somebody died. What do you? But what happens if somebody died, Larry? What do I say then?
You say
only one person died.
No, you know what you say. You say it is what it is.
Thank you, Thomas. 617-779-7937. Jake in Manchester. You're next on Sports Radio. Hey, Jake.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. What's up?
That's good. So that guy was a little wild.
I like it. We like some passion.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm very passionate as well. But, a couple of things to hit on. First thing was the Brady situation. One thing that I did notice last week, because, you know, he did look pretty good in a couple of situations, he was actually stepping through with that front knee. I don't know if he's having issues with that this year, but with that front foot, back in the past when he came back from the injury, he was having a lot of issues stepping through with the throw.
Right.
So I think now that, you know, I think he's getting that confidence back. I know you guys mentioned he'll duck at a fly right now, but.
Well, I think the offensive line has a lot to do with that also.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully he gains some more of that comfortability and is able to step through and get those feet in there and zip some of those throws that he's been able to hit.
The one he made last week to Patterson was a bullet.
Bullet.
That touchdown play.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great catch by Patterson, too. Fingertips.
Yeah, fingertips. And he stepped right through the throw. He was able to make that right on target as well. But a funny thing about the Gronk play at the end of the game I wanted to touch on for you guys. I'm a coach by heart, quarterback growing up my whole life. So my wife and I are watching the game, and she goes, "Why are they not going for it here on fourth?" And I'm like, "Babe, come on. Brady's done this. Belichick's done this forever. They're going to take that, hit the field goal. We'll have a Hail Mary, and we'll call it a day." What happens next? The amazing Miami miracle that they won the whole season.
But, Jake, if you're a coach at heart, at home, and Dan Fouts did point this out, there's Gronk on the field. Well, yep. Did you say, wait a minute, this is not a very good coaching decision?
Not necessarily. How many times have Gronk been on the field for Hail Mary plays?
Yeah, but that wasn't a Hail Mary. I mean, there was no way you're going to have a Hail Mary from the 30-yard line. That's the problem. And you're a quarterback, Jake. I don't know how good your arm was, but I doubt you could hit the end zone from the 30.
65 yards back in the day, but...
Okay, that's a midfield. If they had another 15 or 20 yards, I would understand that. Thanks for the call, Jake. It is a curious decision. He's capable. He is fallible. Once in a while, he'll have the brain fart. That was certainly Exhibit A on Sunday.
He doesn't have to give you an explanation if he doesn't feel like it.
Meanwhile, by the way, Bridget, our intrepid producer, do you have our WEEI breaking news sounder? Can you get that? Do you have that available? Do you have that somewhere? Because we have breaking news. Mm. I can't. We have just learned. We have sources all over the building. And this is unbelievable. You ready for this? Greg Dickerson is in the building. I repeat, WEEI has learned that Greg Dickerson is actually going to show up to his own show.
Yeah, he had to push his car into the parking lot, but he did show up.
Okay, maybe Elvis isn't in the building, but the next best thing, Greg Dickerson has arrived, ladies and gentlemen, here for your entertainment pleasure, coming up at 11 o'clock.
I only do morning drive, Craig.
I know. I know.
Look beneath me, Craig.
Slumming with the
weekend.
How
are you doing with that? You only get one day a week?
Morning drive show?
Yeah.
I don't know. I may get two now.
Really?
Ooh, we are not worthy. Whoa.
Wow. I'm going to just bask in your reflective glory.
Have you seen Mark James around?
No.
Now, he's not going to show up.
So you show up with no Mark.
I think this. You know what, Larry? I think I'm just guessing. I'm very astute when it comes to listening to the undercurrents of that show. I think there's a lot of tension between the two hosts. I think Dickerson and James like each other very much. And I think that one of these days, this whole thing is going to burst on the air. I can't wait for it to happen. 617-779-7937. More calls to get to before the rarity that will occur at 11 o'clock. The unicorn that is Greg Dickerson on the way on Sports Radio WEEI.
This is Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI at WEEI.com.
Waning moments of the Mustard and Johnson show. Greg Dickerson is ready to go, ready to roll.
Yeah, he's in here early.
Ready to rumble with Mark. He's here before Mark James. And we shall see what erupts on the James and Dickerson show coming up at high noon.
I like them together.
No, they're excellent. They'll be on for the next 3 hours after us. And Tomasi coming back to the weekends with Alex Reamer at 2 o'clock. A virtual and veritable smorgasbord of talk show delights right here on Sports Radio WEEI. Meanwhile, let's say hello to Phil in Hopkinton, who's next on Sports Radio. What's going
on,
Phil?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great show.
Thank you.
Great
What's going on?
Great stuff. Yeah. Two things. I know we always speak in threes, but I'm doing two. Keep it short. Number one, a little controversial, but I'm going to make a statement that Tom Brady is so important to the NFL franchise that I guarantee all coaches have told their players, do not hit this guy low. Do not take him out. Don't do the Roger, you know, breaking the shoulder, Aaron, that is, breaking the shoulder, 13 screws, etc. So Tom Brady is almost a leader for the NFL. So I think there's a whole I'm not getting conspiracy here.
Don't you think that don't you think the NFL is looking for some new talent like Mahomes and stuff?
Yeah, no, I do. There's no doubt. But they want him there for at least three more years. They do.
Three?
This guy is driving more yeah, he is driving so much revenue. That's number one. My second point is this, and I'll stop. That last play with Miami was absolutely incredible. I've never seen anything like it. Most of us have never seen it like it.
The play.
So it doesn't matter if you had Gronkowski there or Billy Bob or whatever. There's no way you're going to stop that play.
No, I disagree with that. If McCourty is playing the last line of defense as a safety, he cuts off
he knows
Drake
the angle
and just pushes him out of bounds and the game is over.
Well, you're right. By the way, okay. All right. Okay. I agree. I mean, you guys do this.
Jeez, that was easy.
I don't. Yeah, no, I totally. Actually, I agree. I totally agree with you. All right, thanks, guys.
Hey, good call. Thank you.
617-779-7937. It's Frank in the car who's next on Sports Radio. Hey, Frank. Oh, Frank. Frank is, we're going to put Frank on hold. Bridget, could you
Frank
put Frank on hold? We have this new gizmo we just put in. It's called a 10-second delay. Mike and Southie, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Thanks for calling in.
First-time caller.
Welcome.
You guys are real chill, easygoing, not like the morning off. The afternoon with drive shows.
Well, we're just warming up for Dickerson and James.
And that's why I'm kind of calling. I want to know what your opinion is on Mark James. I think, personally, he's the biggest D-bag on the radio. I don't know why he's on EEI. What do you guys feel or think about
him? I like him a lot. I think he's got a lot of energy, a lot of opinions. Handles a variety of subjects. I like him a lot.
He is he's wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. He comes in here. He's ready to get behind the microphone. And, you know, it's not like it's a, you know, it's not one of these slow takeoffs with Mark James. He comes in raring to go, and he and Dickerson have a very good repartee. I totally disagree. He's the king of Boston media. He can do it.
Our job is to get the runway ready at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
People don't want a lot of yelling and screaming and everything, but by 11 or so, they're ready for it.
And Mark James delivers. Far from a D-bag. He's anything but.
No, I don't think that at all.
Not at all. Steve in the car, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How are you?
How are you?
First of all, I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Thank you. God bless you.
Yeah, you know, for years and years, we've heard that where the Patriots excel is in situational football. And, Craig, you hit the nail on the head. They blew both those situations. The Brady brain fart at the end of the first half and the personnel on the field at the end of the game.
Which was the situation? Which was worse to you?
Well, obviously, the Hail Mary was worse. I mean, Brady can make a mistake now and again. He's not completely infallible, where a coaching decision like that, Bob Greasy, as we've been playing all week, Bob Greasy on the Miami broadcast recognized it right away. This guy cannot tackle. How does Bill Belichick not know that?
I mean, that's not a Hail Mary situation.
Right.
You want your speedsters out there. There's no way Tannehill is reaching the end zone.
Nope. Most NFL quarterbacks can throw the ball probably about 60 yards. He was 69 yards away. Even the most strong-arm quarterback is not going to get the ball to the goal line from the 31-yard line, and Bill Belichick should have known that. And, you know, with all the little things, some head-scratching decisions, Larry, he's made over the years, and we didn't even mention Malcolm Butler from last year. This has Malcolm Butler-like dimensions to it, almost refusing to do what any other coach would have done, put your best defensive back in the game as the last line of defense. He's a safety. That's why they call the position safety.
Gronk was moving like the scarecrow. I mean, he's falling all over the place.
I would think of more like the tin man.
Yeah, there. Wait a minute. You're in the presence of greatness.
The king of all Boston media is here. You notice how they each have to come in and do their own preview? Dickerson comes in and does his preview.
Well, you know,
talk about a bunch of divas here.
You know how Stephen A. Smith this week, he messed up.
Messed up bad, yeah.
Bad, right?
What happened?
You know who else messed up today at about 9:03 a.m.? Craig Mustard. When he said, you know, Bob Greasy was talking over Jim Mandich. Jim Mandich died 7.5 years ago.
Did he really? Wow. Because you're down from Miami.
Well, yeah. Then he's accurate. He was talking over him.
Yeah. So, but Mark, you're always screaming over each other and everything else.
Wait a second. Wow. It kind of sounds like something that we read this
week. Hey, how about a Red Sox broadcast where they actually are talking, three or four different guys in the booth, while the game's going on?
By the way, it's Joe Rose down there.
Joe Rose?
The guy, he caught Dan Marino's first ever touchdown pass.
Hey, are you and Dickerson going to throw your hats in the ring for the play-by-play with the Red Sox?
No. That's not my deal. Hey, is it play-by-play or is it like...
Conversation.
I'll tell you what. One guy who I think is the MVP of the station, and I'm not just saying this, I think he's just great at he does his afternoon show. He's on NBC Sports Boston, and he does a tremendous job on the broadcast.
You are such
a
blatant, transparent suck up.
You're talking about Glenn? Lou Maloney.
Sweet Lou.
Lou does a great job, but the thing about Lou, I don't think he want the grind of going on the road?
Well, he can't afford the pay cut.
Right. Exactly.
So I think you're moving into that top spot.
I think you may be the number one candidate. No. That's above my...
How you like the mornings now that you've thrown your hat in the ring?
I haven't thrown my hat in anything. It's fantastic. I just don't like, 3:30 in the morning getting up that long.
You know what, though? You're on the right path because they don't like you.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So that's really good.
No, that's very good. Which is, they're not the only ones who doesn't like me around here.
It's always good to be hated. That means you're important. Everybody loves us for the opposite reason. 617.
Oh, no. I got through
the show without a hiccup.
I mean, you were hiccuping all
I was
show.
Not.
Yes, you did. I just didn't pay any attention
I
to it.
I was not.
I did not point it out. You hiccuped throughout the whole show. Bridget, how many hiccups did Larry have? Oh, come on, Bridget.
You
be honest.
Bridget alone.
Hey, she did a nice job filling in for a variety of different producers.
Bridget does a great job. She does a great job. And another thing, too, I will say this. John Anderson, I believe, is coming in an hour, Bridget. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Our other producer. They do great jobs. I didn't think anyone would be able to follow in the footsteps of Matt Morrell. But you know what? These guys, they've all stepped up.
I tell you, they replace people around here, man. The producers come in with roller skates on.
Oh, it's real? I know.
They're in there for 1 minute, and then they're gone.
I know.
Hey, you're just eating up minutes.
Hey, by the way,
at the clock.
You were so thrilled when you heard you were getting out of here at 11 o'clock. Would you like to leave at 11 o'clock? Do you want to spend an extra hour here talking to James?
No, me and Larry do our own show off the air.
Yeah, have a nice weekend, everybody.
I like talking to the talent.
See you next week. Thanks to Bridget on the other side of the glass. A rare appearance from Greg Dickerson. Savor it.
Dickerson, you can come in.
Enjoy it while you got it. James and Dickerson on the way on Sports Radio. Bye.